Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Techno Electric & Engineering Company Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Asian Markets Securities Limited. This conference may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. Actual results may differ from such expectations, projections, etc., whether expressed or implied. Participants are requested to exercise caution while referring to such statements and remarks. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Suraj Sonulkar from Asian Markets Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Tushar. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Asian Markets Securities, we welcome you all to Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of Techno Electric & Engineering Company Limited. We have with us today Mr. P.P. Gupta Ji, Chairman and Managing Director. I request Mr. Gupta Ji to take us through the overview of the quarterly result, and then we shall begin with the Q&A session. Over to Gupta Ji, sir. Thank you.
Very good afternoon to all of you. First of all, I welcome everyone to discuss Techno for the quarter ended 31st December 2023 and nine months ending December of the financial year 2024. Anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future or that could be construed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the industry and our company faces. Let me highlight our performance of this quarter. The Q3 financial year 2024, as you already know, that we only have left with one segment of business post-liquidation of our businesses, that is EPC now, and also developing our subsidiary with a data center. The total revenue of the company for EPC stands at 364.5 crore. The EBITDA of the company for this year, for this quarter, is at 45 crore, which is up 92% year-on-year. EBIT for EPC segment quarter stands at 44 crore. That is up by 96% year-on-year. Other income is at 41.63 crore compared to 19.7 crore last year. The profit before tax is 80 crore plus, which is almost double of last year, and PAT is at 77.6 crore, which is 150% up from last year. The EPS for this quarter is at 7.17, which is up by about 158%. When we look on nine-month results of this year, the revenue is at 1,200 crore. That is nearly 132% year-on-year. The revenue for EPC is at 1,189 crore, which is 134% up year-on-year. EBITDA is at 168 crore. That is almost double of last year. The operating profit for EPC segment stands at 160 crore. That is about 125% up from year-on-year. The operating profit margin continues to be at 13.69% for nine months. The other income is at 101 crore compared to 52 crore last year. The profit after tax is at 200 crore plus compared to 91 crore last year. The EPS is at 18.85 compared to 8.28 last year. The current investment values or cash and cash equivalents as of December end stands at around 1300 crore. That is about 120 rupees per share. For 9 months, we have used fresh order intake of almost 2738 crore, and our unexecuted order book as of date now is all time high at 5441 crore. Other than this, we are also placed L1 in another business of almost about 1700 crore, comprising of orders from PowerGrid, business one in partnership with InGrid, order from Adani's, business from Tripura, and also from DBC on digitization of distribution network in their command area. I will now like to cover and look on this issue. I trust we have been able to tide over the difficult times, successfully build the financial health of the company with a lot of unutilized cash in the books, and which is now proving very healthy to us. We expect this growth momentum to continue, which has just begun, and it should continue for 25-26 in the similar fashion. I think we have already perfected 400 crore per quarter output for last 4 quarters, compared to 200 to 225 crore over previous years. We expect from Q4 onwards till next year a top line of 550 to 600 crore quarter on quarter, and which will further rise to 800 crore in the year 18 for the year 25-26. As such, we are very confident that this year our top line should be anywhere around 1750 to 1800 crore, and which will include 1600 crore for third parties and about 200 for our own data center. Similarly, next year we can safely expect a top line of about 2500 crore, and in 26 about 3000 to 3200 crore. Similarly, I will say the buoyed by the policy initiatives of the government like PLI scheme, the digitization as Atmanirbhar initiative, I will say India is at a very interesting venture in energy consumption. Energy is all time high in the country today, and I trust by 2030 we are targeting a per capita consumption of 1750 to 2000 units as against 1250 now. This means business in all segments of energy all around us, and this is going the manufacturing policy, the digitization policies, as well as the very semiconductor industry, auto industry coming back to India as a solution of China plus one, is all very, as well as energy consumption is concerned. This, in our view, will fuel an insatiable demand for power, and thereby leading to demand for all segments of power, power generation, power transmission, reforms in the power distribution, as well as business in the power consuming industry with CapEx being back. India's power demand is expected to clock no less than 7% CAGR over a period of 5 years, which is at least presently touching around double digit of 10%. This has brought renewed focus on renewable energy, and as well as, I will say, the government is keen to even bring back the conventional energy to the extent of 80-90 gigawatt. So we see business happening both in conventional energy as well as renewable energy, where government has already set a target of 500 gigawatt. From the current mix, we can observe that 43% of renewable energy only has happened till date, and with a CAGR of 16%, and is expected to lead to 64% RE mix by 2030. If we can, and I'm sure we'll be successful in harnessing 500 gigawatt of renewable energy. So this also means creating a transmission network to handle this 500 gigawatt of renewable energy, which identifies various transmission, I'll say the networks comprising of almost 4 lakh a year of transforming capacity and no less than 50,000 circuit kilometer of lines. This is very, very exciting, I would say. Most of these solutions being matched with capacity to capacity in renewable power, you will all need high-end application of solutions in 765 kV or maybe now is the time to try 1000 kV KVS. KV solutions also in the country. And this also, the built from the grid to absorb this power, we will need a number of HVDC, ESC, case HVDC things, as well as we will need a lot of STATCOM solutions to keep the grid health in place while absorbing it from power along with the conventional power. This will also imply that we need to focus on a lot of power storage solutions additionally, like pumping storage solutions, battery storage solutions, and all these means a number of solutions. The power grid is also seeing that over the next 7-8 years, they will have a capex of almost 1.7 lakh crore. The sector will also see a capex of no less than 3.5 lakh crore in next 9-10 years. And we expect that this will continue in the marketplace to be no less than 30,000 crore, where power grid share may be 50%. So this is, and our market share of Techno also in this segment is no less than 50%. The government is also now encouraging thermal capacity to ensure the peak, and which is likely to be 4% as present expected, and government wants to mitigate by all means, this year being an election year, and also to support the lot of enthusiasm due to high-end economic activity happening in the country. And India being the only world's largest growth space at the moment. So this optimism will result in a lot of power, pickup in power consumption, as well as the company grid generation capex with grid capex, and also strongly backed by distribution reforms in the form of digitization of the DISCOMs and smart metering installations in multiple ways. The government is also amended the Electricity Act, which is also sounding very good now. Now, out of smart metering, I will say that almost about 100 million meters are under various stages of award, and around 88% of them may be taken under RDSS scheme, where government has allocated 3 lakh crore but to be spent over the next 5 years. So the bids of about 100 million meters have happened, and we have already backed business worth about 2 million meters, and we would like to build about 2 million meters per year over the next 5 years, so that our share in the market is about 5% in this segment. Now I will take up segment-wise segments, like coming to FGD segment, although a bit subdued because government is encouraging again conventional power in the country. So FGD will be strongly followed by government in the new capacity and also in the existing powerhouses with the CPSUs and state entities. But our takeaway is that the private may like to defer a kind of capex for next 2-3 years. So this program of FGD will be studied and will continue over next 10 years in our perspective. We have already got business worth 40-50 crore and which will see execution now in the coming year and next year with the BJP government back in the state of Rajasthan now. And we expect to book business worth about 500 crore in this segment year on year. In the transmission sector, we, after a long gap, it's strongly in place and we expect the TBCB bidding happening to almost 50 to 100 gigawatt now, and a lot of bidding is at process in progress, and every month 3-4 concessions are being awarded to Power Grid or private sector, and wherever AIS solutions are involved, we are being preferred as an entity who provides the same over 15-18 months. Which is the call of the day to match with the generating readiness. The total business in transmission may be around 40,000 crore per year, out of which this station business can be taken other than HVDC to be around 7,000 to 8,000 crore. And we expect to book this business of 3,000 crore year on year for next 3 to 5 years. We have already won business worth about 1,500 crore in first 9 months, and we are L1 in another 1,100 crore business in this segment. So we are hopeful to first strike back 3,000 crore business in transmission by close of this year. In the metering segment, I can say we are expecting orders for 2,000 crore year on year. We are already executing a smart meter business in the state of J&K for 2.5 lakh meters, which is coming to a complete by the close of the Q4. And in addition, we have got another order to install about 7.25 lakh meters in the state of J&K. In addition, we have also backed order to install 5 lakh meter in the city of Indore and Indore DISCOMs. We are also L1 in Tripura, and we expect the order very shortly for another 4 lakh meters in this state. We are participating business in the state of Rajasthan, Jharkhand, in smart meters, and expect that by the close of the year, we will expect additional business of about 1 million meter more. The overall financial health of the sector is likely to be improving, and if this focus really stands implemented on the renewable power and also these DISCOM reforms, we are confident that there is a huge business for our company, not seen before. We will also like to be part of the battery storage solutions or pumping storage solutions, as well as for the balance of plant business in the conventional powerhouses, which we have carried out successfully for CPSUs and states in multilaterally funded projects over the last 3 decades. Data center is another very exciting story. We all believe that digitization and cloud services is the most prominent leader backed by DPDP in the country has led to a growth of this vertical. And also the consumption of data is growing every day in our country. And I trust this is the cause of the very energy consumption demand as of today. Whereas digitization is highly energy intensive. My takeaway is that presently we have about 700 megawatt of data centers in the country, which is likely to be at least 2 gigawatt by 26, and maybe another five, it grows to 5 gigawatt by 2030. India actually offers a very attractive energy cost today, apart from stability of supply, that is compared to Southeast Asia or Europe. So I trust most of the large operators in this space would like to locate their data center in this in India in the location. Additionally, I also believe that AI has also fired this sector very strongly. In monetary terms, to my mind, this sector is no less than $2 trillion in 25, and it can be $5 trillion by 29. The very growth driver in this space is the public cloud adoptions by the large entities at enterprise level, the data localization, the data plan, the data protection bill 2023, the very policy initiatives of the government as announced by them, the digital transformation which is taking place in the country, the technology developments which are happening, like rollout of 5G and others at next level of growth, AI, 5G and VR, the increasing adoption of AI, and virtual reality will revolutionize the enterprise technology market and benefiting data centers. IoT, big data and cloud computing, rising demand for IoT, big data and cloud services will continue to drive the industry. Techno is also in the advanced stage of setting up of a data center of 24 megawatt IT load and 40 megawatt of grid load at Chennai, which has achieved significant progress over last 1 year, one year and a little more, and we expect to be ready by no later than March, or maybe a month or two more because of the disruption which happened in November, December in Chennai because of the cloud bursting. We are now in the phase of equipping the project with more and more of the power-centric solutions and civil works, and building works are nearly ready. The procurement of these items are already in place, and we are hopeful of commissioning, if not by March, April, at least latest by June 24. And complete projects by, I will say, later than the March 25. We are seeing aggressive interest from strategic partners to enter into a JV for developing data centers in India. We are also noticing the deals happening in this space, and we like to conclude the same once the project is nearly complete to harness the best value out of this asset. The capex in our project is expected to be around 1400 CR, that is no more than 45 CR per megawatt. And with 60% of capex happening in electromechanical works, that gives us the ability to leverage the same in future works for other developers of data centers also. The company is very well placed for the at the moment, and with a lot of merits. We are financially strong with undeployed cash of rupees 1250 crore at the moment. The business is strongly back in our proven areas of competencies of last 3 decades, that is high-end transmission solutions, which we expect to be about 3,000 crore per year. Developing transmission solutions with TBCB mode in partnership with financially strong entities and InBits. A good opportunity in the space of smart meters in OPEX model, wherein we want to absorb in-house risk of the project development and revenue stabilization. Thereafter, we will see the exit, as in case of transmission and wind assets on financial IRR basis. Lot of opportunities in the balance of plant space due to new capacity to be built by CPSUs like NTPC, DPC in thermal power space, and also with the state utilities with whom we have successfully performed in the past. Due to induction of AI, the data center business is strongly back, and we expect now, we are confident of achieving 250 megawatt by 2030, or maybe more, I would say. And as I already highlighted, it is due to the very energy cost in India, which is no more than 6 to 8 cents, we are very well placed to capitalize on this opportunity. We are developing data centers in Chennai and Calcutta next to Nextra data centers, and we would like to take partners only post readiness and issues. So all this means the company is strongly in growth space by virtue of the energy growth in the country and also the related businesses to the conventional power, renewable power, and also power consuming industries like data centers, and in addition, the strong reforms happening in distribution with RDSS scheme in place, and also digitization of the distribution business. So this means that we can easily expect a business of no less than rupees 4,000 crore per year in next 3-4 years to go. Our, as I already explained, our target for the current quarter onwards now, that is Q4, will be almost 550 to 600 CR from 400 CR being experienced and stabilized in the last 4 quarters. And for the year 25-26, it will further rise to 24-25, it will be 600 per quarter, and for 25-26, it will be 800 crore per quarter. So we can easily expect a top line of no less than 2500 in 24-25, almost 3000 to 3200 in 25-26, EPS of 25 in the current year, 35 for 24-25, and 45. For 25-26 respectively. With this background, I will now like to take up the questions from the floor.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ravi Naredi from Naredi Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Gupta ji. You are doing really fantastic at our front. Sir, my point is there, when we were having 1,400 crore cash, the company desired to raise money through QIB, 1,250 crore. I believe that company should take that first, then raise the equity. So, what is your view on this? Because equity is always not cheaper than today.
Any other questions, sir? Or the
yes, sir. 1,500 crore L1 order, which you recently told in interview, last interview. So what is the status at present? And you announced a lot of orders in this phone call. So we may receive in due course. So how the company has capacity to perform them? These are my questions.
Sir, first of all, let me address your capacity question and then come to the finance and prudence of finance on this side. On the capacity side, Techno in building balance of plant, high-end applications and complexities, as well as facilities or like applicable in data centers and also distribution versus smart meters. So whatever you come to rewards or earnings at the bottom, but we preferences was brownfield expansion packages from Power Grid we were always operating each way. Yeah, the silence something.
Hello, Gupta. There is a little disturbance from your end.
No, sir. No, sir. It is not from my end.
I will just check. Hello, Gupta, sir. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Yes, sir. So the current line for the current participant has been disconnected. So should we?
Yeah, now it is good.
Yes, it was from Ravi's side.
The participant must keep their lines in silent mode or.
Okay, so the next question is from the line of Shubhadeep.
No. Let me complete the answer, sir. I have yet not completed.
Fine, sir.
Yeah. So we were almost executing 30 location projects of each no more than 50 CR, which presently we expect to raise it to 100 CR and then to 150 CR per location, or maybe even 200 CR, but not working at any more than 15 to 16 locations because of the very size of the projects of 765 kV AIS. And they are largest of the large in the country as a deployment. So all these within the same capability and capacity, we are able to ramp up the top line, number one. Number two, coming to the finance prudence, you see our company has always been very, very prudent in utilizing the cash, and I trust cash is king. It always brings multiple type of benefits like assurance of payment to our suppliers, procurement at competitive prices, your ability to fund your programs ongoing in the field in time, and it is usually comfortable, I will say. So, and you must have cash in the books always to take care of any contingency otherwise. So I have been always a debt shy person, and we trust we can earn easily 15-18% on this money by multiple and different ways of deploying the same, which is not only meant for growth in the top line and resulting in higher working capital necessities, but also to fund the OPEX model projects like our partnership with the developing transmission assets in TBCB, or developing smart metering solutions. And going forward, we do expect that we can take up more projects in OPEX model with the developers, thereby giving us a better bottom line reward. But definitely, you see the CAPEX planned over the next 5-6 years for us is no less than 25,000 CR, if you see holistically. 250 megawatt of data center will mean no less than 10,000 CR as a CAPEX, and also developing 10 million meters in OPEX model will also mean 10,000 CR. So it is almost about 20,000 crore CR. Of course, we will take debt, but we will be shy to go beyond a debt ratio of 1:1. And we'll also be continuously rolling over this CAPEX into exits additionally, so that all the time we must have a cash availability in the company of no less than 1,500 to 2,000 CR to meet any contingency or any delays any delay or payment as experienced, so that we are not vulnerable as we experienced in previous 10 years with fatality with lot of generators. So we want to make sure that company continue to generate reward of 15-18% of the equity, as well as keep company financially healthy. Our target is that by 2030, if we have a top line of 5,000 CR, my net worth also be no less than 5,000 CR. That is what we will achieve, and a debt of no more than 5,000 CR. Hello.
Should we take the next question?
Hello.
Yes, sir, you are audible.
Yeah, I could not get you. Is it okay? Are you able to hear me?
Yes, you are able. I am able to hear your voice. Should we take the next question?
Yeah.
Okay, so
this is okay with the first question person.
Yes, sir, the first person has been disconnected, has been dropped.
Okay.
So the next question is from the line of Subhadip Mitra from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Firstly, many thanks for giving such a detailed explanation and your overview for the sector as well as for the company. If I heard you correctly, I think you mentioned FY25 sales guidance of 2,500 crores and FY26 at 3,200 crores.
You are right, sir. Perfectly right.
Perfect. And I think, sir, you also mentioned an EPS guidance of 35 rupees for FY25 and 45 for FY26. Did I hear that correct?
Yeah, 26. Absolutely right.
Correct. So perfect. This is immensely helpful. If you could also help us, sir, in terms of the EBITDA margin guidance that you have. I remember, I think in the last call, you had mentioned a range of around 13-14%. I believe for the 9 months of this year, you're already tracking 15%. So would you be upping the EBITDA margin guidance as well?
No, sir. I think we will continue to be around 13%. And depending on commodity cycle, because of the global forces as are very happening around us, I think we should be conservative, but we will, it may improve. I think expecting 13% is fair.
I understand. And would you see scope of the margins going up over the next 2 years, given that you're getting, you know, larger ticket size orders? So maybe there is some operating leverage or economies of scale that can flow?
Sir, it may happen, but to be conservative, it is not good to factor, because the very tariff bidding which happens in our country, it puts a lot of pressure on the developed asset owners in terms of the tariff, and their ability to pay out to EPCs are not that used. that is constantly under pressure as I see. Additionally, we also experience today it's a suppliers market on equipment because of the ban on the large end equipment or major equipments forming part of the solutions because of the ban in use of Chinese equipment under DPIIT policies. So all these are the challenges inbuilt in it. So I will trust we need to experience the ground.
I understand. So lastly, what we are hearing, you know, from various industry players, including Power Grid, is that while there is this, you know, huge pickup in terms of the planned transmission capex, there is acute shortage of certain segments of equipment. For example, whether it is HVDC or it is high voltage transformers, do you anticipate any such you know, short-term paucity of equipment which can probably impact your execution on the substation side?
So this is what I shared with you just now, Mr. Mitra, that pressures are there in the marketplace, but Techno's relationships with these very suppliers for last three decades and having grown together and being have been a trustworthy payment masters in this space. So our respect is very huge, and that helps us, you know, to despite challenges, we do get our equipments in time from them by and large as per the requirement of the solution. And that's good, I will say. So it's a time for companies like us to come forward and you know, absorb more of these risks which we are best placed in the marketplace.
I understand, sir. Thank you so much for answering my questions. Fantastic.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Venkata Subramaniam from Organic Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Guptaji, and thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, Venkat.
Couple of questions, sir. One, we had taken a few opportunistic orders overseas when the Indian market didn't, you know, appeal to us. Are we kind of defocusing there, and will we come out unscathed from that? And what's your outlook there, sir?
Sir, I will say that we have done little overseas compared to many others in this space, number one. Number two, our Togo assignment is complete and we have already achieved completion certificates. That project was funded by Exim Bank. We are still struggling to be out in Kabul, in Afghanistan, which are our comfort zone was that they are funded by World Bank and ADB. So resolutions have to happen. Number of meetings have happened in Doha and we are very confident. And secondly, these projects are part of CASA scheme. You know, it is not limited to Afghanistan only. So they have to find solutions because three more countries around Afghanistan are entangled in it. But the good part is that we are nearly completed about 90% of the work in this project. So it will be foolhardy for anybody, you know, not to complete the balance 10-15% left in that place. So project completion will happen, and our involvement also is no more than $6 million there, which is very little, I will say. But we are finding good traction now in the Middle East, because every country in Middle East is very strongly focused on renewable power, like India, and climatically also so. So we find good space to be part of in Saudi or Oman or similar other countries. Let's see how it works out. So, but the domestic market is more hot than the overseas also.
Sure. Secondly, a couple of conference calls ago, in answer to a question about organizational strength and then enhancing, etc., we said we are in the process of inducting and interviewing a lot of people, etc. Are we getting the kind of talent that we need to achieve this kind of scale, Gupta ji?
Absolutely, sir. Because there are two things. Firstly, we have strengthened our daily office very strongly. And my son is located there now, full time, for last 3 to 4 years, Ankit, who is driving all IT-based power solutions like data centers, smart meters, or digitization. And we have picked up very good people in that office. If next time you happen to be there, it's a team of now 100 strong people. If you happen to be there in Gurgaon, please visit our office. We welcome you and share our experiences with you. We are also transforming a lot, I can assure you, to catch up. We understand, you know, growth brings its own challenges and risks with it. And as conservative we are, we want to be delivering this growth very successfully and prudently in all regards.
Right. Lastly, sir, on this enabling resolution for QIP, knowing the company and knowing you, I read a lot, you probably have spotted some opportunities. It probably will not be very futuristic. Do you want to give some broad color in terms of what this will entail, etc.? Do we have some specific assets that we are chasing? Because it can't be, you know, anything that you build either on the data center side, etc., will kind of turn itself over. You know, it won't be a continuing investment. A few you will build, and in the typical style, you probably will feed them over, etc. So if you take this kind of money with the kind of cash trail that we're sitting on, you probably have something in mind. Do you want to kind of give a broad picture to the market?
No, we have a program of capex of almost about 2,000 to 2,500 CR per year now, keeping the OPEX model of the smart meter as well as data centers. So the objective is to stay, you know, liquid enough and financially strong enough to meet these kind of capex year on year, either laced by some debt, not all debt, but also, you know, if you are not able to get an exit for a year also, you can be under, you know, distress. So we don't want to be in stress or distress situation. The advantage is that whatever exposure you want to take in capex or enhance working capital needs, that must be adequately funded. But secondly, whatever approval we are taking, sir, we are beginning the process. It does not mean we do in one installment, or it may be two rounds, depending on investor interest in our space, in our company. So we are still not very decided, you know, that this money will get raised tomorrow itself. It is only a beginning of the process, and we may complete this over a year, either as a preferential allotment or as a QIP, or depending on investor interest in our opportunity and value he is willing to pay, sure, which will be good for all the stakeholders in the company today.
Sure. But
strongly looking on foreign enterprise, FIIs or FPIs, more than, because domestic participation is already very high in our company.
Indeed, I understand. Now, if you are investing almost 2 to 2.5 thousand crores in the system on almost on a yearly basis, then one would assume that, just a 13 to 15% kind of EBITDA would possibly give us only something like about 300-350 odd crores, which is not the kind of matrix that we have worked with in the past. So, although the turnover can be higher, probably the flow through to the bottom line should be a lot higher than 13%, right? Which otherwise it won't meet the previous matrix of ours.
You are perfectly right, sir. But you may see in our documents happening in two parts, as you saw in the past. One, some part of return will be as a value equity, and some part will be as a OPEX return, in execution return. So it will be a blend of the two, as you saw when we sold our transmission assets. We generated handsome capital gains. Similarly, when we exited wind assets, we had a handsome capital gain. So this will also be a hybrid model of EPC reward plus your exit reward as a capital gain.
Sure. Lastly, sir, since you're thinking along this line.
Yeah, just a minute, Venkat. These capexes are happening in SPVs because that is mandatory. All smart meter work is also happening in SPV only. That is also a requirement of the government. So that post-concession period, they goes back to the government.
Right. Right. Now, just to guide the market, you know, more appropriately, if you can kind of actually make a presentation to kind of capture this, because, you know, on the face of it, it look as though you will have about 13.5% kind of margin on all your top line, while some of it actually will come from value accretion. So, you know, it might make sense to, you know, guide the market accordingly.
Yeah, no take. We'll do. We'll take this. Yeah. No issue.
Thanks a lot, Guptaji. Pleasure talking to you.
Long, long time. Please drop in sometime.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Gurvinder Singh from Fortuna Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Guptaji, thank you for giving me the opportunity. My question probably continues from what Venkat was trying to get to. As we understood your business, the capex heavy or asset heavy businesses of smart meter and data center will obviously grow in the overall pie in the next 5 years or so. Just a sense of philosophically, would you limit the capex from the balance sheet of the parent into these SPVs, essentially by funding the growth beyond the point from selling stakes in those NBFCs and finding partners? Or would you be philosophically guided to continue to invest and limit the partner's capital there? I mean, more a directional question. If you could help,
it's a very delicate balancing of the risk versus rewards between you and me, sir. Our takeaway call is that we don't want any investor to underprice our assets merely by assuming that he is part of the project happening risk or project construction project management risk or project development risk, number one, and secondly the very stabilization risk thereafter of the revenue stream. So that when we parted our assets on transmission, then those projects were not part of any construction risk or any revenue risk, so we could exit at about 9% IRR type of or 9-10% IRR, depending on that cycle happening in the country. But today, when you take a partner, when project is in construction phase or delivery phase, any investor looks for a return of no less than 15% or more. So that is very pushing. That belongs to my investors. That belongs to my stakeholders. So we want to, Techno is sure of that risk. We understand that risk. We are confident of mitigating that risk. So that reward must be part of my balance sheet, whether it is happening in SPV or in the parent. But we will definitely be funding SPV with the debt as long as something with the capital from the parent company. But definitely those SPV will be parted out once projects are operational to the financial investors or to InvITs as required. So that we are able to derive or realize the most optimal value out of our learnings, our experiences, and as well as out of the seeing the business risk out of the DISCOM agreements or regulatory agreements. So we don't want to be underpriced on our assets.
Understood, sir. This is very, very clear to me. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And the next question is from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for giving the opportunity. So, so on continuing on the previous question itself, now, so did so the advanced meters, we understand that, you know, it is more like a opportunity where once it is done, then there can be some IRRs linked to it. But in case of data centers, while we have the EPC sort of capability, but we may not have the capability to get the data centers filled with the tenants and up and running. So in that model, now if you are taking a lot of funding in our parent, then how will it help the potential guy who will come to the data center business as an investor?
Sir, in data center, the investor will happen earlier than it's occupied or put to use. Like you can see, we are approached by many investors, but we are awaiting its readiness so that somebody is not a part of my construction risk. Once it is visibility of readiness and operationability happens, definitely somebody will become our partner by then. We have Keppel with us already on a understanding levels and still to get into a definite projects between us. So, and also we are inducting people from the Silicon Valley as a director in our board, which will you see soon happening, who have built multi-billion dollar data centers in US and exited. So we are conscious of all these issues and resolving in a professional manner, I can assure you. We are not mounting this, which is not digestible by us or not addressable by us.
Understood, sir. And on the fundraising itself, so the way I understand that maybe you will do it in parts over the next 12 months or so after getting the shareholder approval, and this entire money may not be drawn in one go.
Absolutely. And we won't do dilution more than 10% in totality over a year.
More than 10%. Understood, sir. And sir, just one more question. So when I am looking at your console and standalone statements, I do see that the gross profit in the console is lower by 12 crores compared to the standalone. And same time, like in the second quarter, I think, or in the first quarter of this year, it was 26 crore of profits. So, how? What is the policy around, you know, doing this EPC business for our subsidiaries? Is it entirely in cost-to-cost basis as of now? But if that be so, then how come we are having some losses in the console? So, if you can explain the policy regarding how we are billing to our subsidiary companies.
No, I think these are accounting issues and you have to comply to many norms of the books of accounts as you build. We are gradually trying to come around. The firstly, console is happening, is no more than data center now in the company subsidiary. There is no other asset which is in console. Number one. Number two, our aim is not to have more profit in the parent over the asset. We like to drive more value out of the capex exit, subsidiary asset as a capital gain. But at the arm's length pricing, we have to be prudent under corporate governance norms. And accordingly, we keep benchmarking the price of the contract to parent versus subsidiary. So you can see that gap is narrowing down.
Understood. And overall, we can expect a 20% sort of an equity IRR, post-tax equity IRR, once we downsell these assets, including
absolutely
the EPC margins?
Yeah, absolutely. As of now, yes. It may be more. The way we are seeing investments at the moment happening in data centers post AI kind of gush, the market is getting fired more than energy also now.
Okay, so that's good to know, sir, that we can get more than 20% post-tax equity IRR, and as I understand, part of it would be back-ended because of the exits that we may get.
Absolutely right.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you. That was the last question. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Yeah. I thank you all for joining the conference call with us. And if you still have any query left with you, please drop a mail to us. And if you happen to be on this side of the city or part of India, you are welcome to drop in our office to visit us and witness for yourself how we work. Our daily office is equally large and vibrant now. You can visit us in Gurgaon office also. Ankit Gupta is there, located. He can answer all your questions. And with this, I would like to once again thank you all of you and close the conference.
On behalf of Asian Markets Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.